And we are going to read for the first 12 verses of the Word of God and ask Him to bless us there as we read the scripture as well. Chapter 5 of Romans and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We are turning to God for the blessing of his word. Now, we got some children in front. It's good. Okay. Anybody watch football? You know football? Okay. So what does it mean? The referee holding up a placard. Go on. A substitute. Exactly. That is what substitution is about. The referee, either that is going to take number 13 off the pitch, and then it was substituted by number 8. I don't know how to pronounce the name, but that's what substitution is going to be. And basically, substitution is like a replacement, because that someone on the pitch might be feeling too tired, might be doing some wrong things, and then the captain, or not the captain, the manager, will then say that I'm going to substitute this person with a better person. Hopefully, that person will help and win the game. That's what substitution is. But the word in substitution is not actually found in the Bible. Well, I cannot find it in my Bible anyway, like especially in King James. There might be one there in the New International, but it's in the Old Testament. It basically means replacement. But it's like any other word, like Trinity or free will, is not in the Bible. We summarize quite a lot that Bible teaches us about our Lord Jesus Christ. And substitution can be, in a sense, looking at replacement right from the very beginning. Right from the beginning, if you remember, that I'm sure that you have so knowledgeable, even children, that in the Sunday school, it's right from the beginning that God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, of course, they have taken from the forbidden fruit. And when they had taken the forbidden fruit, then they felt that they were ashamed, because Adam said to God, I was afraid because I was naked beforehand. They did not know what good or evil. There's no shame for them. But now that the shame is not just that about the body, that were naked, but yet they will see that God can see them. They are seen in their body or in themselves inside. So he was naked. He tried to cover it up. He tried to hide things there from God, because when God came back down in the evening and the cool of the day, and then they were saying that, I do not want to see God anymore. Before that, they were able and they were quite willing to talk with God, the Almighty God himself. But now that they were naked, and they even sewed fig leaf for themselves, so that not only the high and the riches and in the bushes, but also the so fake needs that to cover themselves. Of course, what did God do? Then he's replacing and what we call that substitute, and called substitute the fig leaf with the coat of skin. So it's called tunic. So in fact, it's not a short kind of thing for covering it, but actually a coat of skin which cover the body together. And you say that, well, it's okay that, you know, you cover it with much warmer or things like that. But then in order to coat of skin to cover the body, it involves that right from the beginning, the death of animals. They're involving that the lamb or some kind of animal had to be killed, and the coat has got to be put upon the body of Adam and Eve. So right at the beginning, that when sin come, that Adam and Eve try to cover themselves with it, but God covered them up now with the coat of skin. The next example which I've got is that when Abraham, of course, that was proved by God. I don't like the word tempted by God. I like the word proved by God. That means that to prove that he's righteous, that he believed in God from his very heart, that God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And of course, that Abraham has got a knife in his hand, whereas Isaac will bring all the wood that goes to the place that of sacrifice. And as Abraham believed in God, that even Isaac would be resurrected afterward, he still goes through the process of sacrifice only and the only son called Isaac. And of course, that I'm sure that you remember the story or from the actual truth is that while Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, there is this lamb, or the ram over there, that was caught in a thicket, and God himself said that, I will provide myself a lamb for the sacrifice. So Isaac was then substituted by the ram of God that was provided by God himself. We see that, well, it's awkward and well, because that yes, that you know there are people, but you don't need an animal to substitute. When we say that about in a football team, you substitute a better thing for a less not so good thing over there. But animal, as good as they are, I know, don't want to talk about animal rights people over here, but they are not as human. They haven't got the way that God looked at a human as such. So you can have inferior thing for the more superior thing. The third example, which I think about substitution, is that at the time when the law, before he was crucified, they were put into different type of things that in the court. And Pilate, and Pilate himself, that he would like at that time, because why talking that he's a just man, the righteous man, I'd be troubled in my dreams and all that, because that you're just about to put a just man, a righteous man to death. So Pilate, he was going to help and then to try to release the Lord Jesus. And he said to the people, this is a Passover time, which had gone through Christmas. So that Passover time, the Roman authority has got a way of pardoning one person that you yourself, the Jews, in those days in the land of Israel, that you choose that to be released by me. And one of them is called Barabbas. Now Barabbas was called that was a murderer. He was the one that created a lot of riot. He was the one that trying to overturn the Roman Empire, and he will be causing a lot of what we call nowadays the terrorists of the land. And so he was the one that in prison, he was the one that supposed to be also to be put on a cross to be crucified, the righteous judgment of this murderer. But what happened, as you also know, that from the scripture, that the people say that crucify the Lord Jesus, crucify him, I would want Barabbas to be released. Pilate was in fact quite upset. He said that the blood is in your hand. However, then now we are going more to the crescendo that Barabbas, which is a murderer, is going to be replaced or substituted by a righteous man called our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the kind of example I give you, the replacement God provided for our sin. Now, there is a diversion. There's a things go two different ways. We have heard many, many times that God is just. And God has got to put justice in his nature. We also know that God is gracious. God would like to forgive. And then we know that also the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. How can we square? At one time, you say that if there's any sin, we know that from our own conscience and from the thing that we know, anything that we do, anything wrong, that has got to be punished. But then you say that, but God is kind and he's going to punish those people. But in fact, I'm going to give a gift of those people who sin as well. So how can we square this balance? Because you have heard many, many big words already. Justification by faith. Okay. There are other things, the gospel word, which we have talked about throughout the first quarter of this year. But more so that when you think about that, all these kind of things then seem to have a decent gap in between. One is justice, one is grace, one is, we talk about that God, that no, is love, but love in truth. The truth is that when someone has sinned, like Adam and Eve, they should be punished. I think that the gap here is done by the words in Hebrew. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The first example, we found that the fig leaf is not good enough. The hiding from God is not good enough. But God was still warned to forgive Adam and Eve. So that something has got to be done. And God will use an animal blood in order and to provide them a coat of skin so that their sin can be in a certain cover by that. And sometimes that people will use called atonement to do that, this covering of the sin. And substitution, some people will actually using a better word or an other description is called penal substitution. That means a penalty has to be made, just like in the pitch, the penalty has to be made, but then someone is going to make the penalty for you. The big words that we have been talking about all the time is that you might have heard that many times over and over again. Christ died for you. It's replacing your death with the death of the Lord Jesus. That the blood was shed in the beginning that by the Lamb, both in Abraham's case and Isaac, and all the coat of skin. And then there is the one that replacing the righteous Jesus that at the time of Pilate, and replace the using have the Lord Jesus replacing Barabbas, who are such a sinful man that deserve the death. And this gap is by the blood, which is no more lamb, is no more as an inferior type of animal for a superior type of person. This time is that we are sinners and need to be punished. The sin, I'm sure that you have heard many times, that the sin can be defined by the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, which we have been written there in Mount Sinai by the hand of God, handed down to the nation of Israel, and we adhere to the gist at least that of the Ten Commandments on that one. Thou shalt not do all the things that thou shalt worship no other God before me, make unto thee any graven images. Okay, thou shalt not take the name of God in vain and remember the Sabbath day. But then we come to the most civil one, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, nor to steal, or forth a witness against the neighbor, and not to convert. Some people will summarize it into seven, the super seven deadly sins, and then there's a kind of description you can get from other people how to describe the seven deadly sins. Lust, gluttony, I know that I'm probably a very sort of a guilty of that, of gluttony, about eating a lot, but greed, okay, and then also sloth, there'll be laziness, wrath, there'll be angry to people that without a cause, and then also envy, because somebody is doing much better than me, have a lovely Tesla, although they can't find the parking place to charge their car, and but then they can be envious, all those people that have all such kind of things. And then, of course, the main thing is pride. Okay? The pride is that I'm better than anybody else, even Satan himself, that he has got pride, that he will be like God. But all those Ten Commandments, or even the seven deadly sins, can also be summarized that right from the beginning, where Adam and Eve sinned. It's called disobedience. Because that God said that you should not take of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then when the serpent come and tempted Eve, and Eve said, oh, it's good for food. It's good for the gluttony, for ourselves, for myself to eat. It's very pleasant to the eyes. It looks lovely. I don't know whether it's apple or not. Even the apple may not be polished, but definitely that fruit, it's very pleasant, different from any other fruit that from the other tree. And also, the main thing is that they desire to make one wise. That means that they will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, knowing good and evil, at this moment, we know that it is separate what is good and what is evil. In the time that when Adam and Eve was created, they're only good because God only gave them all the good things of the earth, no thistles, no thorns, and all that. Everything is prepared for them in the Garden of Eden. Oh no, but they want something better themselves. Not better for God's will, but better for themselves. They want to know a bit of the evil. So that is something that lesson for us that when we should actually shear away from evil. Children, that you're here, that your parents try to shield you away, trying to make you not to look at different kind of things. Eventually, you might come across it, but we'll shield you as much as that in the evil world that to try to take you away from God. But at the end, this is what it is, that the sin of disobedience. When God says something, you don't have to understand to start off with. You just have to obey. Obey what God is before you understand his nature. You obey what he said first before you understand his nature. Once we obey, then God will reveal us, and then he will actually, by his grace and by knowledge, will let us know more about his nature. So the sin of disobedience is there. And because sin has come, that through Adam, and sin ate the world, and all of us here, apart from the those that who believe in God, in a time when the law comes, will be taken away, as what Joel said, that in a moment, in a twinkling of our eyes, we will be caught up. Otherwise, everybody here, physically, will die. Okay? Physically, we all die. The moment we're born, we're destined to die that in the future. I have some people that in the last month, and all that have also passed away. So there are dead people that we know that sin will cause death over there. But also that when we talk about substitution, that is when we were yet sinners. If you remember the word that we have read in Romans 5, it said, while we were yet sinners, Yes, we are all very weak. We cannot satisfy God. And then that, you know, there will be pace at time that we have to disobey God because we talk about disobedience, we turn away from God. But while we were yet sinners, the substitution is that Christ died for us. That means for you and for me. I can say that from my testimony that I was that disobeying God. I was turning away from Him, even though I was brought up in the beginning on a Christian school and later on a Catholic school. But yet that the way that I live my life is a way turning away from God. And then you say that on the Bible, perhaps that if I was such a good man, someone might perhaps, if I do everything righteous, if I follow the Ten Commandments, I don't do the seventh sin of gluttony, and some good persons might actually die for me. But no, I know that I do commit all those sins, especially disobedience to God. And yet that while we were yet sinners, while that God should say, but you sin, I should punish you right to the end, condemn you right down that to eternal damnation. And the Bible does talk about a place. It's not that pleasant. It's called a lake of fire. Okay? Some people may summarize it. It's called hell, eventually. But while you're a sinner, God's grace comes in. God's grace comes in because He said that I want to give you eternal life. Eternal life, eternal, that suffering, eternal life, not only live a life, but actually living to be in His presence. But in front of God, there is no sin can put in front of Him because that He is holy and sinless, and they cannot withstand people live eternally with Him. So while we're yet sinners, the gap is going to be breached. That gap is going to be breached by the death of a righteous person. And that righteous person is not only a person that we know. That righteous person is the Lamb of God. God provided Himself a Lamb, not this time, not a physical animal, but His only Son. The Son that was with Him in the glory from the beginning, and then that He's going to let the Son to be crucified by the hand of sinful man and woman. And that is what His gap is. There was substitution. That means that He substitute Himself all the penalty that we deserve to have. But He, being sinners, died for us so that He was the Adam, not only the first Adam to bring death unto us, but the Adam that He will bring life unto us. So we talk about that the fig leaf are substituted by the coat of skin, blood had to be shed. Isaac is substituted by the ram, again, blood had to be shed, the ram has to be sacrificed by Abraham to please God. The criminal, Barabbas, is substituted by the righteous man. And then sinners like us are being substituted by Christ died for us. I said that before, somebody might know me. That is a very profound verse. I tell you that I was brought up in a Catholic school in secondary school, so I know the wrong doctrines of Catholic. But all my so-called three sisters, they are Catholic. And I said that there are many, many wrong doctrines in Catholic. Don't get me wrong, they are right, they're not idol worshiping all that. The one thing they do preach that Christ died for sinners. I challenged my sisters, I said, I didn't say I'm a Catholic, why do you take the Lord? Why do you trust that, you know, the doctrine? Why do you actually, what does it mean for you to trust in the Lord? My elder sister said that after a bit of thinking, if somebody loves you enough to die for you, will you not love him back. And that's what scripture tells us. We love him because he, the Lord Jesus, first loved us by dying upon the cross for us. The substitutions of himself, the penal substitution, paid the whole penalty. Then he could say to the universe, I have paid all the penalty for you and for me, for those sinners. And what you need to do is to accept that he is the one that would die for our sin and trust in him with all the heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If somebody loved me enough to die for you and me, you not love him back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks that we have got a substitution. The substitution is nothing that deep for us to understand, although there is a marvelous way that the Lord has died for us. We can never fathom and understand the full depth of it, but we know that it's a replacement of the punishment for our sin. Oh, Father, we just give you thanks that you sent not an angel, not a righteous man and woman created by you, but you sent your only Son, the one who was with you in eternal glory, and now still with you now in glorious place as well. And Father, we give you thanks that he has done the substitution for our sin. So Father, we just continue to ponder upon this word, Christ died for us. Father, we just pray that if anybody here this morning does not understand or even know that the love of Lord Jesus Christ, just asking you to look into themselves, have they disobeyed God? Once they have disobeyed God, the only way to come back to God is that to look upon the cross, and then we know that the cross is empty because Christ has died while sin is now resurrected, that he was the one that by the blood of the Lord Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. So Father, asking you as we part, they're asking you that for us to think about it today and for the coming week, that people, those that do not believe in you, might they realize and come to you and asking the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. So now as we continue our Bible study and our coming week, but asking you to help us to go our homework way and also that to understand the scripture even more as we continue living upon this earth until the Lord Jesus Christ come again and take us home. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.